I recently watched a documentary of the deepest part in the ocean, which is called the Challenger Deep. It's in the Pacific Ocean, specifically in the Mariana Trench, and it's about 7 miles deep. The pressure at the bottom of the trench is a crushing 8 tons per square inch, which is about 1,000 times the standard atmospheric pressure at sea level. And when we stand at sea level, when we stand on the seashore and we look into the horizon is about 3 miles from us. So the Challenger Deep, this place in the Mariana Trench, which is the deepest place in the ocean, is about the distance double, a little bit more than double the distance of the horizon that you see when you're standing at sea level. Deep. Deep. Prayer, to speak about prayer, to contemplate what prayer is about. It's like if we set to explore this deepest place in the ocean with a pair of goggles, a pair of flippers, a snorkel, and a waterproof disposable camera. No matter how hard we kick our feet, no matter how fast we move our arms, no matter how deep we can dive and hold our breath, we will never reach the depth and the amplitude of what prayer is. And yet, that does not mean that we cannot let ourselves float and let prayer carry us. As prayer is that language of love that awakes us to God's presence and love. In today's gospel text, today's gospel story, we have Jesus and the disciples. They're back on the road again. They have already said goodbye to Martha and Mary, whom they were enjoy hospitality. That's part of the story of last week's gospel when Jesus was at Martha's and Mary's home. But now they say goodbye to their friends and they're on the way back to Jerusalem. And as they go on, Jesus stopped to pray. The author of this gospel is very keen in letting us know the many times that Jesus stopped to pray. Moments in which Jesus either pray with people or would go aside just to pray. So most likely this is not the first time that the disciples see Jesus praying. And I doubted that the request from the disciples asking Jesus to teach them to pray, that this request comes out of ignorance on the subject of prayer. After all, the disciples were Jewish men and women. They were taught to keep prayer rituals at home and in the temple. And yet, they wanted to learn to pray like Jesus. Perhaps there was something about how Jesus carried himself, the way that Jesus was with people, the way that he interacted with those he encountered around, the way he spoke, the way he treated them, that made the disciples know, or wanted the disciples wanted to know, how was this life of prayer shaping this person to be so generous and loving? So they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father. This response implies a sense of intimacy, of affection, and closeness. And did you notice that Jesus did not give them any instructions about emptying their hearts or clearing their minds before prayer? He didn't mention anything about a particular body posture and no indication about a ritual to follow. or neither did he give them any theological explanation of how to approach God, except for Father. And when we hear these words in English, and when we read them in our Bibles, the word Father, or if you read it in Spanish, the word Padre, comes to us from the Greek pater. Greek is the language in which the New Testament was written. And pater carries a connotation of control. In the Roman Empire, to be the pater familias, was considered to be the lord of the house, one who would control, one who oversaw. But in the language of Jesus, which was Aramaic, the language that most likely Jesus spoke with the people, that father, that padre, that pater is Abba. Abba. Sometimes we have young kids out here, and you might hear them say words that are similar to that. Papa, dada, mama, ama, Abba. In Aramaic, Abba, what we say father, well, Abba have these connotations of someone that is beholding a child, is the language of a children, of a child expressing to a love parental figure. All of us have said those words. Papa, mama, papi or mami in Spanish. And if the disciples were curious about the person of Jesus, I wonder if they were also curious about that, who was the one receiving Jesus' prayers, and what was the quality, the character of the one who was receiving Jesus' prayers. Not a pater, but an Abba, someone that beholds each other's, a child's face this close, and whose hearts leap of joy at hearing those words, Papa. When they asked Jesus to teach him how to pray, Jesus gave this great response to the disciples. He shares freely of his relationship with his Abba, with his Father, with his Papa. Jesus let the disciples know that the same quality of relationship that he has with the Father, the disciples also have. That immediate way to access God, that direct relationship and familial bond, the disciples have. And friends, not only the disciples, but we have as well. Jesus does not own. There's no proprietary relationship of Jesus with the Abba, with the Papa. This is a relationship in which the disciples can enter too, and a relationship in which we can enter as well. We are all in that familial bond with our God, with our Abba. The Lord's Prayer, the version of the Lord's Prayer that we will be praying later in the liturgy, comes out of the book of Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew. The one today in Luke is short and to the point, and scholars believe that it's probably one that is the earliest version of the prayer. And on it, Jesus proclaims, on this prayer, Jesus proclaimed that we are in this familial bond with holy divine mystery. There's a familiarity about it, and yet there's also this mystery. Hallowed be your name, or let your name be sanctified, or sanctified your name, or make your name holy. We are in this close relationship with holy other, with holy divine mystery, and yet this holy God, this transcendence of God is intertwined with our everyday life. Often we think that there's these two polarities of transcendence and what is in everyday, the cotidiano, the quotidian, the everyday aspects of life. But this prayer speaks to us that the transcendence is intertwined with our everyday life, with what we need to live today, with how are we in relationships with the others, with our neighbors, with others, and how do we align our lives with God's purposes in our world. May we have the sustenance for today. May we have the courage to forgive and be forgiven. And may we align our lives with the divine purposes and dreams of God for this world. Short and to the point. And now, friends, for me, the second part of this reading become a bit more complicated. This reading continues with the parable of a friend who's in need and goes and asks another friend. And then Jesus uses these short phrases of asking and things will be given, of searching and you will find, and knocking the door and it will open. We have all seen those words, ask, search, and knock, in greeting cards and posters and sometimes on social media memes. But what happens when the answer does not come? When the search ends in futility or the door is sealed? We all know that kind of disappointment. Many of us are expert in unanswered prayers. Anyone with any experience with prayer knows very well that despite the blank check appearance that Jesus gives with this word, ask, search, and knock, God's answers do not always match our desires or requests. And yet here we are. We continue to pray. We continue to float in the depth and amplitude of prayer. I do not think that this is wishful thinking or merely foolish longing. What I believe is that the experience of prayer, that despite the experience of unanswered prayers, that this experience, when we pray, know it or not, in all our praying, in all our asking, in all our pleading with God, we're just expressing our loudest request from our hearts of hearts, which is to comprehend, to know, to grasp that we are fully known, fully seen, and truly loved by our Abba. You and I know that prayer will not solve all our problems. You and I know that prayers would not fix all our brokenness. And you and I know that even prayer will not wipe away our tears. Actually, many of our tears have been a way of praying. But prayer, be it quiet or rowdy, express our yearning to be seen and loved by Jesus' Abba, who is our Abba, and who is our compassionate companion. This Abba, this Papa, this Father, who is in solidarity with us and who longs to be with us and for us. In our prayers, be it joyful prayers or angry prayers, because God can take our prayers. In these prayers, we commune with the Abba, whom all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid. This is not the macho father, this is not the macho padre, but this is a tender, loving Abba, Papa, who desires to be with us and for us. And just like the disciples said, just like Jesus said to the disciples, how much more would this Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. This tender, loving Abba, this tender, loving Father God, breathe upon us the indwelling Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be our wisdom and our guidance in this mystery of life, where sometimes we do not understand, we do not know how to comprehend, when our prayers go unanswered, at least the way that we want them. So, beloved of St. Mark's, keep on praying, keep on asking, and keep floating in this language of love, which is prayer, of which depth and amplitude we do not need to comprehend to let ourselves be carried by it. Amen.